Good morning and welcome to Redeemer. We're excited you've joined us today through these online means. I'll remind you that later in our worship service, we will be celebrating Holy Communion, so we invite you to get your elements ready there in your homes so that you can celebrate communion with us. I will remind you about our Lenten worship on Wednesday at 7 p.m. We invite you once again to tune in online this way and join us as we observe Lent together. We are very excited. Can't you see how excited Vicar Amanda is? Yay. If she had her pom-poms, she would be...
Oh, I should have brought my pom-poms.
You should have brought your pom-poms.
Sunday.
Next Sunday. Well, next Sunday is what we're excited about.
I know.
Sunday, we're back to in-person worship. So we invite you to come and join us at 8:30 or 11 a.m. Either time, we'll be doing the worship service twice next Sunday. If you are wanting to view us online, that service will be at 11 o'clock. So we're invite you to join us either in person or online that way next week. I do need to remind you that the deadline for Easter lilies is tomorrow at noon. There are forms here in the narthex. There's been a form attached to the e-newsletter the past several weeks. Or you can simply call into the office in the morning and they can assist you that way as well. So please make use of that. And finally, for me, we have an overabundance of donations for Williamsburg County once again. So this coming Friday, we're going to load a truck to go down to Williamsburg County with those donations. We're going to start about 4:30. We invite you to come and join us. Come when you can and help out. We got a lot of things that are going. We got more than we can take already. So we're going to get what we can down so we can make more room for the next group of donations that y'all bring. So we're excited. And again, that's this coming Friday. Starting at 4:30, we'll be working in the truck. Vicar Amanda, your turn.
All right. So this week I heard that the blessing box was used a lot.
Yep.
So we had it go low and go empty a couple times, and I want to thank those that alerted the rest of the community on Facebook. And so if you are able to bring a few extra things by any time that you're in the area, or on Sunday when you get to come to worship, if you feel safe and comfortable doing so, the Blessing Box is a wonderful outreach to our community and a wonderful ministry. Also, since we're able to have worship in person, we will also be having youth group for 6th through 12th graders in person. That will start on Monday, March 22nd at 7 p.m. We'll be trying to do as much as we can outside unless the weather prohibits it. So look for us either out front here or if we're inside, we'll be back in the fellowship hall area. You're welcome to bring friends. All 6th through 12th graders are welcome. Also, because of the pandemic last year, we had to cancel our Easter egg hunt. But this year, we will be having an Easter egg hunt.
Pom-poms.
Yes, pom-poms. And it will be an Easter egg hunt of epic proportions. All ages are invited, adults as well. And there will be Easter eggs all over the place. This is going to happen on Saturday, March 27th at 1 p.m. And what I need help with is I need candy and other small things to stuff the eggs with for our Easter egg hunt of epic proportions. So if you're willing to donate some candy or something to stuff the eggs with, just drop it by my office anytime, and that'll be great. Those are all my announcements.
I think that's a great name, All Ease, Epic Easter Egg Hunt.
Epic Easter Egg Hunt. I think so.
That's good.
Yeah. We'll get some signage out for that.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
And that's it?
That's all.
Okay.
That's all.
Great. Well, let us prepare for our worship with our confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the keeper of the covenant, the source of steadfast love, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
God hears us when we cry and draws us close in Jesus Christ. Let us return to the one who is full of compassion. fountain of living water. Pour out your mercy over us. Our sin is heavy, and we long to be free. Rebuild what we have ruined, and mend what we have torn. Wash us in your cleansing flood. Make us alive in the Spirit to follow in the way of Jesus as healers and restorers of the world you so love. Amen. Beloved, God's word never fails. The promise rests on grace. By the saving love of Jesus Christ, the wisdom and power of God, your sins are forgiven, and God remembers them no more. Journey in the way of Jesus. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, rich in mercy, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world and rescued us from the hopelessness of death. Lead us into your light, that all our deeds may reflect your love, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Invite the children to come
forward and join us for a children's message. Gather up by the screen. I brought some things to show you today. Because, and this is a clock, this is an important thing to talk about today because we lost an hour of sleep last night. And so it's important. Everybody's got to try to stay awake during Vicar Amanda's sermon. Not because of the sermon, but because we lost an hour of sleep and people are already sleepy. Uh-huh. Yeah. So you can see this says it's 11:13 according to this clock. And the thing I want to ask you about this clock is, how many hours do you think it would be until God's love runs out? Choir, do y'all have a thought as to when God's love's going to run out?
Never.
So it doesn't matter how many times this goes around, God's still going. Okay. Let me put the clock down. Aha! I have a measuring cup, and this measuring cup will hold 2 whole cups full of whatever I put in here. Do you think God's love would fill this whole cup? And more.
Bunches and bunches of those cups.
Bunches and bunches and bunches. This cup isn't enough to hold God's love?
No.
No. It's what?
It's bigger.
It's bigger. Well, how about this? Vicar Amanda, can you help me?
I
have a measuring tape. And let's see. Do you think God's love is longer than that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I couldn't measure God's love with this either? No. Oh, well. I think you're right. I'll get it.
Don't know how it goes back in.
High advanced things, you know, are hard to work.
They didn't teach me that in seminary yet.
So, anyway, yes, God's love is so amazing and so great that we can't measure it. It's more than anything we can even imagine. God loves you so much. It's longer than this tape, more than the measuring cup could hold, and longer than any time we could ever imagine. God always loves us, and God always loves you. And that's an important thing for us to remember today. May we pray? Dear Jesus, thank you for your love for us, which never ends. Help us to know your love and to live out your love with other people. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord. A reading from Numbers. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come into the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And our gospel for today is possibly the most well-known verse from all of Scripture. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." Even the book and verse are well-known, John 3:16. You can find snippets of the verse, or simply John 3:16, printed on almost anything. Really, I looked. A little Google search turned up t-shirts and Bible covers. I expected that. But Christmas tree ornaments and bookmarks and a necktie. Okay. Wall hangings, jewelry, and bumper stickers. Keychains, coffee mugs, water bottles. I was a little surprised by the yo-yos and the sports eye black with John 3:16 on it. Christians use this one verse as a standalone proclamation of their faith, and it's plastered everywhere. I'm not saying that that is a bad thing. What I will say is that it's always a good idea to understand individual verses in the midst of the context that they are in. So if we zoom out a bit, we're looking at the Gospel of John. The Gospel is written very differently than the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's often set apart. John is a book of the Bible that uses a significant amount of imagery and comparisons. Our text for today talks about the Son of Man being lifted up, alluding to Jesus' journey to the cross and comparing it to Moses and the serpents. It also compares the light of God and the darkness of the world. And to fully engage this book, it's important to interact with its symbolism and its metaphors. The verse John 3:16 takes place early in the gospel and early in Jesus' ministry. And it's in the middle of a story of the Pharisee Nicodemus coming to see Jesus in the night. This verse and those that surround it are part of Jesus' answer to the Pharisee Nicodemus, who was asking about the kingdom of God and how to enter it. And in answering that question, we can proclaim alongside Jesus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." But often our answer stops with, "so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." Why do we stop there? Does that fully answer the question at hand? How to get into the kingdom of God? One, God loved the world. Two, sent his son. Three, believe in him. Four, have eternal life. It makes it sound so transactional, like a late night infomercial. Be one of the first 16 callers to dial 1-800-JOHN-3-16, and you'll receive the four-step secret to entering God's kingdom. But wait, there's more. There is more. The very next verse, there's more. John 3:17. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. What does this tell us about God's intentions to save the world through Christ? Not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And with that, I wonder, what part of the world? Is God saving the Northern Hemisphere? Only the countries that have names that start with the letter U? Or is God saving only the part of the world that knows about Jesus? Or the part that believes in Jesus? Or the part that does enough good deeds in the name of Jesus? What part of the world is God saving? And I think we're curious about this question because we want to know, are we in or are we out? And if we're out, how do we get in? But this verse doesn't say anything about God putting up parameters on what part of the world to save. But when God, that is said, God is saving the world, all of it, I know what comes next. There's a tendency for people, for us, to believe that surely it's not all the world. There's got to be a catch somewhere. Verse 18 in our gospel reading says, "Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Aha! If you don't believe, you're condemned already. Really? But we just talked about God's intention being to save the world. Scripture gets muddy. It gets tedious. Can we take a look at the part that creates so much angst in us? Those who do not believe are condemned already. Here you can find different translations that lend to different nuances. Those who do not believe are judged already. The words condemned and judged carry very different emotions with them. Condemned sounds like a final ruling on a matter. That's it. While judged seems less final and related more with what happens as people grow and change. And then there's the word already. Non-believers are judged already. Living in the world without believing in Jesus is already a separation from people and God. But it doesn't have to be. Because this section of Scripture ends with the back and forth of the light and the darkness, the highlight is, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. Those that are judged already, they still have the light coming into the world. Jesus Christ is the light, and the light for all people. God does not sit idly by waiting for the world to come to God. No. God sends the light, Jesus Christ, into the world for the sake of the entire world. The light is for all of the world. And the beauty of the light is that it's there, whether we acknowledge it or not. We can close our eyes. We could go hide in a cave. We can build a blanket fort and block out the light. But the light's still there. Jesus, the light, has still come to save the world. There are challenging pieces to this portion of Scripture, and we can't ignore them. At the same time, we must not allow those smaller and more challenging pieces to overshadow the major declarations that Jesus gives regarding God's intention with the world. The world will be saved through Jesus. The light, Christ, has come into the world. This is big news. So with that big news, I guess it's okay that John 3:16 is plastered everywhere. It's a good reminder that God's intent is for the entire world. It's also good for us to know the context of the verse that we love so much. Then we can share it, and we can share the stories that surround it. God loves the world. God saves the world. Christ Jesus, the light, has come into the world. And when we go from here, let us proclaim this to the world. Amen.
Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Lord Jesus. We thank you for being our friend. Oh, how often we need to cling to you, to draw strength and support and help and hope from you. Thank you for being there for us always. Thank you for your love. Thank you for being a friend we can count on in times of joy and in times of need. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, you are the friend of sinners. What an incredible gift that is. We are sorry for the ways we have damaged our relationship, the hurt we have caused others, and the hurt that we have caused you. Forgive us. Renew us. Welcome us home in your love and grace. Walk with us in life so that all our moments are shared with you. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Savior, in those times when we need you the most, we know you are there. Be with all those who are sick, those in sorrow, those alone or afraid, those in danger, those who are hungry, the oppressed, and the forgotten. Bless all your people, and especially those whom we remember before you now. Lord, in your mercy. O God of mercy, fill us with your Spirit so that we might be merciful with one another. Grant that we might be patient and understanding and loving and kind as we cross the intersections of our lives. Remind us always that we are one in you. Lord, in your mercy. Living God, lead us now to look and act beyond these walls. Help us to live as you lived, offering ourselves sacrificially for others and for their good. As you reach your love to us, may we reach that love to others. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen. Let us pray. God of steadfast love, at this table you gather your people into one body for the sake of the world. Send us in the power of your Spirit that our lives bear witness to the love that has made us new in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. In peace, serve the Lord.